Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
To score a goal.
He shoots, the ball, he scores, scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast. It's the FA Cup and League Two version this week with Sam Mashu from the 72.co.uk. We're testing the bounds of technology here, Sam, both on Skype. Anything could happen.
Yeah, I'm awaiting an explosion of some sort coming from either end, mate.
Yeah, we're going to start off with the only Football League match outside of the Championship this weekend, and that is in League Two, of course, where Exeter face Burton Albion. Burton Albion currently fourth in the table, 35 points, just 3 points off the top, with Exeter down in ninth, only 5 points adrift though. One thing that strikes me about both teams is the ability to score goals. Burton's have dried up a touch in the last couple of games, but you wouldn't be surprised to see a high scorer here, Sam, would you?
Oh, not totally, and like always, you're beginning to touch on one of my bets, so well done there. And for me, Exeter here are the dark horses for the playoffs, you know. And, you know, at the start of the season, I couldn't believe that I'd be saying that. Such a thin squad, and the job that Paul Tisdale, I have mentioned it before in the League Podcast, but the job that Paul Tisdale done, he's done one of the best jobs in the division, one of the best jobs in the Football League. And I say that, you know, with a heavy heart, to be honest, because for me, I looked at the squad at the beginning of the season. They were so thin on the ground. And to do what he's done, and by the way, winning four out of their last six, only Shrewsbury have a better recent record in the league. So they're second based on recent form record. They're unbeaten recently against the likes of Bury, Wickham, Luton and Shrewsbury. All very good sides, possibly the sort of four best sides in the division, really. You know, however, they did lose to Hartlepool at home. I put that down to just a bit of a strange result. You know, all teams are capable of it. And it was strange enough to see Hartlepool win as well. So a bit of an anomaly there. But you know, a lot of people will look at this and say, oh, this has got a Burton win all over it, because Burton are sort of, well, associated with being, you know, one of the better sides in the division. But Exeter, like I say, are on a real run at the moment, and particularly good at home. And, well, they're scoring goals. Yes, conceding a few as well. But, I mean, look, in a player in Matt Grimes, I don't know if you've seen him play this season, Lee, but he is quite the player. He's one of the best players in the division by far. I mean, even the game that they lost against Warrington, they lost 1-0. But every time Matt Grimes had the ball, he looked Championship quality. And I know they were playing against Warrington, but still, he really stood out. They've also they had a nice Black Friday as well, Exeter. They signed Alex Nichols, Clinton Morrison and Ryan Harley. So they've been able to bolster their squad, something that they couldn't do at the start of the season. And I mean, they're going up against the Burton side here that, yes, have had excellent results against Wickham and Luton, had that sort of new manager syndrome that that I mentioned in a few weeks ago in the League Podcast when they got that win against Wickham. They only got one shot on target against Shrewsbury, and that was away from home. And slight worry there. I know Shrewsbury are very good at home, but still, you'd have expected a bit more attacking intent from Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's side. So, for me, it's a tough one, but I think the value does lie with Exeter at 6-4.
So my nap's going to come in that game as well when we get to them at the end of the podcast. I'm sure you're all absolutely on tenterhooks waiting for that. The first of the FA Cup TV games that we're going to look at with Sam is Hartlepool versus Blyth Spartans, 4-9. Hartlepool, Blyth are 5-1 and 3-1 the price for the draw. An obvious choice for a Friday night TV game, because there'll be no love lost here. It'll be a great opportunity for these two clubs to lock horns. Hartlepool, bottom of the Football League with 12 points from their 19 games and a minus 20 goal difference. Lost the last three in succession, away at Southend in the league, at home to York and at home to Wickham, losing 3-1 on both of those occasions. Blyth Spartans, well, not doing brilliantly, 18th in their division, but they've won the last three, Sam, winning 3-2 against Kings Lynn Town, not too far from where you are, 3-0 at home to Ashington, and they beat Witton Albion 2-1 as well. If you go in on confidence, Sam, and the upsets in the FA Cup, you'd have to have a look at Blyth at 5-1, wouldn't you?
You would, but I don't want to be, well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, I don't want to be Mr. Negative, I don't want to be Captain Cautious, but it's just the price here of Hartlepool at 4-9. Yes, I know they're struggling in the league, but let's just have a bit of a reality check here. This is the Look, we've got a League Two side against a Northern Premier, also known as the Evo Stick, for those at home, division. This is the same difference as League Two versus Premier League. Now, I'm not saying Hartlepool are exactly the equivalent of Chelsea. You know, more like your sort of, you know, Crystal Palace, QPR type. But still, you know, this is quite a hefty chunk between the two divisions. You've got a full-time team here against, well, what is, I'm afraid to say, a bunch of part-timers. Yes, Blyth Spartans have enjoyed a few decent cut runs of late. Yes, they are possibly capable of causing a bit of an upset. I don't think 5-1 is big enough, Lee. I really don't. You know, like, you know, for reasons I've just said in terms of the divisions. And Hartlepool at 4-9, I think it's an acca price. And I know that people will be getting on Blyth Spartans this weekend. I know that for a fact, because if you do fancy them, you know, you're 5-1. If you put them in an acca with just a couple of other teams, you know, you've got a big one there. So I get that. But for me, you know, Hartlepool, you only have to look at their last game in the FA Cup. It was a home match to East Thurrock. A side who are actually in the same division as Blyth, they're actually a couple of places higher. Hartlepool had 12 shots on target in that game. It was a comfortable 2-0 victory for them. You know, it was a nice break for them. They didn't really feel the pressure in that game. I think they'll be looking forward to this, saying, look, we're at home here. It's a chance for us to actually play some expansive football and try and get some goals. And, you know, if Blyth are playing at home, and I've seen a few Blyth games on TV lately, the last one featured quite heavily on the highlights package. They played a couple of years ago against Gateshead, which was a big Northern derby. That was on TV as well. They create a good atmosphere there. If this was at home, it would be a completely different story. It's not. It's at Hartlepool's ground. And yes, Hartlepool have lost 6 out of their last 7, but they've scored in 6 out of their last 7 as well. And for me, they do score in this match. And if they do score, I think they go on to win. Just looking at Blyth Spartans, 17th in the table. So it's not exactly like they're the top of their division by any means. 16th worst away record in the league as well. So that pretty much replicates their standard form as well. And worryingly for them, they've scored the least amount of goals in the Evo Stick. They've only scored 20 goals. So, you know, you haven't got a team here that's going to come and score a lot against Hartlepool, in my mind. So one thing to bear in mind, perhaps a positive for Blyth, is that only 3 teams in the division have conceded less goals than them as well. So scoring not many, but, you know, not conceding too many either. So for me, I'd be looking at Hartlepool and unders, Lee. I really would. Hartlepool, a team that have struggled for goals this season, but I do think they go on to win it. So Hartlepool and unders. I don't think we've got a price on it just yet at time of recording, but it will come into play, and I like that. Otherwise, for me, Hartlepool at 4-9 is an acca price. You just got to look at the difference between these two in terms of divisions and in terms of places in the league. It's for me, it's the home side.
Yeah, good stats there, actually. And it's one of those things where you get tempted in by the price sometimes and forget to actually look at what's happening in the game. Let's move on to Wrexham versus Maidstone next, shall we? Wrexham are in the Conference National, the non-league premier for Maidstone. But although there's a full division between them, Wrexham are 12th in their division and Maidstone are second and have been going pretty well recently, playing all manner of games. They seldom play two back-to-back league games together at the moment. So you wonder about the consistency in the performances. And when you look at the results, they're not overly consistent. This is on the TV on Saturday evening. The prices, first of all, Wrexham, a price of 8-13, 5-2 the draw, and Maidstone 7-2. I think people will be tempted by the price. Are you thinking that the higher division team are worth backing at odds on?
I am, to be honest, Lee. It's another one of those where, you know, I actually wish that we had an FA Cup weekend here where the underdogs are playing at home. It doesn't seem to be that way. Certainly in the main matches, we've got, you know, the teams that are in the higher divisions, they're playing at home. And sometimes it hinders the atmosphere a little bit. It just makes it more of a routine match as opposed to, well, I put to you Exeter versus Warrington a few weeks ago. Yes, it was a night match. Yes, it was on TV, but the atmosphere was brilliant. And Exeter really struggled on that tight pitch, that tight ground in front of, what, just 1,500, something like that. So for me, Maidstone, yes, they're going well in the division, in the Ishtamin. They're second in the league, and of course, confidence will be high. But it's a big ground, the race course. You know, it holds, what, 12,000, something like that? They won't be used to playing on such a big pitch as well. in front of what should be a big crowd as well. So I look at the home side here, Wrexham, and I think the 8-13 is just too short. I mean, I was on in-play radio the other night when Swansea played against QPR, and I think Swansea were clipped into about 8-11, something like that, possibly even 8-13. And they were playing against QPR. That's two, okay, Swansea a little bit better, but that's two average Premier League sides playing against each other, and you've got the home side at 8-11, 8-13. So for me here, you know, you've got a comfortable conference side playing against a team two divisions lower, and they're 8-13. I don't think the prices are quite right. Yes, people will look at it and go, "Oh, Maidstone are going well in their division. 7-2 is good value." That's not how I see it. I see it as I take on board that they're doing well, but they should be at least 4-1. For me, probably touching on 5-1. So I think the home side are backable, certainly in an Acca. And, you know, they held on. I mean, they were down to 10 men in their last game against Bristol Rovers with 45 minutes to go, and they managed to hold on in that one. They've had already had two comfortable wins at home in the Cup as well, and in a player called Lewis Malt, who scored 10 goals in 21 league games. He's hit a bit of form as well. Personally, I think the headline price is a little bit too short on it. I would like to see it out at 3-1. I believe it's 2-1. Is that right, Lee?
Yes, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, possibly 3-1 for the headline offer I would have liked to have seen. So I'm not going to put that up. But something to bear in mind that Lewis Malt, if anyone's going to score for Wrexham, it's probably him, should he start. You never know, of course, in the FA Cup if the manager likes to rotate a little bit. So I've got to go with the home side. I really do. And I take on board Maidstone of confidence. But for me, Wrexham have been here too many times. They're at home as well. And that's the killer for me. So Wrexham, 8-13 is what I go with.
Sunday, if you're not playing footy yourself, you're just getting ready to go out or have a bit of dinner, 12 o'clock, this one's live. Gateshead versus Warrington, 100-30 on the Northeastern club, the Northwestern club. Warrington are 13-2, and it's 7-2 the price for the draw. Again, a few divisions between these two, two full divisions between them, and Warrington, the lower ranked team, are 16th in the first division of the non-league setup. Gateshead 7th in the conference national. Warrington are probably in the better form of the two teams here, Sam, in that they haven't lost in the last four matches, but obviously it's a lower level of opposition. Gateshead just a one win in recent times, in the last five games, that is. I mean, are you kind of going, there seems to be a theme developing here, doesn't there, that, you know, I'm thinking odds-on's a bit short for the home team and you're thinking it's good value.
Yeah, and well, you're the experienced manly, so I don't want to keep going against you. But
look at my betting account; you'll see that that experience counts for nothing.
Well, yeah, it is. As I said, I don't want to keep coming across like Mr. Negative. And people that do listen to the league podcast will know. You know, we do really try and look for value, but it's just one of these where, look, I don't want to put up losing bets, and whether the prices are short or not, you've got to look at them. So, Gateshead versus Warrington. It's another fifth tier versus seventh tier match. I think a bit, luckily here, I think we've got a possibility for goals, possibly both teams to score as well. The Gateshead International Stadium, I think it's called, or something similar to that, there's been an average of 3.5 goals there in the last six matches. I'm a Lincoln City fan myself, and I certainly watched a lot of the in-depth highlights of the Gateshead 3 Lincoln 3 match, and it was so open. You know, either team, Lincoln not going very well in the league, but they could have scored 6 or 7 in that game, and Gateshead could have as well. So clearly Gateshead liked to attack but leave themselves a little bit open. But they were comfortable in the FA Cup against Gainsborough. They beat them 4-0. And it is another one of those where I think Warrington, I take my hat off to them. They played really well against Exeter. They deserve to win that match. But now they're playing away from home. They won't enjoy going to Gateshead and playing in that, what is a stadium with an athletics track as well. No one really enjoys going to play there. The atmosphere won't be great, in all honesty. And it'll be completely different to the Exeter game. So, like I said, I take my hat off to them. It was a great performance. But it's another one of those where the fact they're away from home is going to play a huge part. And actually, Warrington's league form isn't great. I know they've been waiting for this FA Cup run for a while now, and it was a good performance against Exeter, but only 2 wins from 9 away from home and only scored 21 goals in the league. Now, only Ossett Town and Prescott Cables have worse records in terms of goal scoring in the division. So it's not like they're scoring a hatful of goals either. However, Gateshead are prone to concede. So for me, I'm going to go with, and it's another one that the price isn't up, but I'm going to go with a Gateshead win and over 2.5 goals. When it comes up, have a look at it. I can't see anything other than the home win here. I think Warrington have gone far enough, but I do think we'll see a few goals. So that's possibly where your value lies when the bet comes into play.
Finally, let's have a look at the 4:30 game on Sunday. This is Colchester versus Peterborough, an all League One affair. 2-1 Colchester, 23-10 the draw, and it's 6-5 for Peterborough. These two teams have already met, of course, once this season, and Peterborough ran out 3-1 winners. Colchester's form hasn't improved much since then. They're 22nd, so three places above bottom of the table, two places above bottom of the table, and just a point above Crewe as well. Peterborough are ninth in the same division, a full 10 points better off than Colchester. Colchester, despite the bad form, usually score at home. They've drawn a couple of blanks, but have been scoring goals at home, but still losing. They just concede too many goals. Peterborough's away form isn't particularly anything to write home about either. I noticed one common denominator, hopefully not stepping your toes here, was Freddie Sears. He scored in that game between them, and he also scored, I think, in the that big FA Cup win as well, didn't he, that they had. What are you thinking about this one? At least it's an all League One. You can take out that division between the clubs, the difference in divisions.
Yeah, but what I will say is here we've got two teams with the worst records in League One at the moment based on the last six games. We've got Colchester, who have lost 4 out of 6, drawn 1 and won 1 as well, and Peterborough, who have lost 5 out of 6, drawing 1, so yet to win in that time as well, and they're really struggling at the moment, absolutely outplayed by Bristol City last week. They were really, really poor. And yes, Bristol City were really good as well. But it was a comfortable 3-0 win. It could have been more. Darren Ferguson came out and said, look, there was nothing we could have done. He didn't come out and say there was nothing we could have done. He said, no, we weren't good enough. There was no way we could have won that match. So they failed to score in two of the last three matches as well, Posh. Really struggling. And Colchester, yes, they do tend to score at home. And it was a crazy match, that FA Cup one against Gosport. They scored 6 goals, conceded 3. It looked like a training routine. I watched it. I saw every goal. They were walking the goal into the back of the net at times. It was ridiculous. But, they've conceded 15 goals in the last 5 games, Colchester, something to bear in mind. Failed to score in their last 2. And by the way, I realise that I'm just throwing stats at people here, because apart from the fact that Colchester and Peterborough are struggling in the league, there's not really any particular form or statistics that jump out. So I'm sort of just throwing things at people and they can take it as they will. Like you mentioned, Lee, Freddie Sears, well, if anyone's going to score in this match, it will be him. He's 5-4 anytime. He scored 9 goals this season. And what I like about him at 5-4 anytime is the fact that he's pretty much, maybe I'm doing Colchester a bit of a disservice here, but he's pretty much carried his team this season. So you've got a player which the team are completely relying on for goals. So what you're saying is, should Colchester score, he will probably be the one who does it. Whereas a team, you might say a team like Bristol City, you might mention someone like Aaron Wilbraham, who scored more than 9 goals this season, but they've got players like Luke Freeman, J. Manuel Thomas and Kieran Agard, who can also come in and score. So you never know who's going to score for them because they're capable of so many goals. Here, you've just got pretty much one man who's going to score. So 5-4, I think, is decent value for him to score any time. But for me, and I really have been Mr. Negative in this particular podcast, Lee, I'm going to go with both teams to score no at 5-4. I just think Peterborough in particular are really struggling lately to score goals. And it's not like them. You know, normally they're both teams to score specialists. Not this season, really. The likes of Kyle Vassell and Connor Washington, who looked really good at the start of the season, have struggled a bit of late. So both teams to score now at 5-4 is possibly the best one. And by the way, 0-0 at 11-1 is not the worst 0-0 you've ever seen. I know we've seen quite a few goals at Colchester lately, but we've got two teams here who are both really struggling. So it's one of those which might go either way. You might see quite a few goals from two leaky defences, or you might just see two really out of form, unconfident sides who are just willing to play out a draw and try and build from it. So, you know, whereas you see quite a few nil-nils at 6, 7s, even 8s to 1, I think the 0-0 at 11-1 is actually a decent price.
Yeah, it does look nice. That actually, I can see it being a see the reasoning behind that being a pretty poor one. It's nap time. I'm going to do the standings tomorrow, Sam. I've had a busy week, and I promised Pete that I'd do them tomorrow.
I've been waiting to hear about these standings, Lee. I've been really looking forward to hearing about this.
You've been doing all right, haven't you? I'll tweet them out tomorrow so you can both see them. Mine this week is in that Exeter Burton game. I really like the both teams to score. But it's like 7-10, justifiably so, because 80% of the games have been both teams to score at home and away, respectively. Over 2.5, the 60% of the combined home and away games land there. So I've put them both together, both short prices, put them both together. Both teams to score, and over 2.5 goals in the Exeter Burton game is priced up at 6-5. You got results like Exeter 3-2 against Shrewsbury, 2-1 against Wickham, losing 2-1 to Hartlepool, beating Bury 2-1 all at home, and Burton winning 3-1, losing 5-0, winning 4-3, etc., etc. So I'm relatively confident this week, Sam. What are you going for?
I'm not as confidently, I'm not going to lie. And I'm going to go for the both teams to score now at 5-4 to cap off what has been a pretty miserable podcast from my end in terms of putting up bets today. 5-4, it's not a bad try.
You just love goals too much. That's your problem.
I do. Well, you know, we watch football for goals, don't we? We don't watch it for the nil-nils. And it has been. I'm not surprised we're at nap time, because I think listeners after this are going to go and have a kip.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for your time. Well, you can hear Sam on InPlay Radio. It's inplayradio.co.uk. Also, check out the 72.co.uk, of course, with all the various preview and review articles that you'll find on there. You'll find this podcast at the top right-hand corner as well. You can also download it at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's available at Audioboom, with all the rest of William Hill's very varied sporting podcasts. And you can download this and subscribe at iTunes, where you'll get all our football podcasts delivered straight to your PC, your tablet, or your phone. Thanks for listening. And if you have a bet on any of the FA Cup or that Exeter game, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.